Hello, parents. Welcome to the Masterful Parenting Podcast. I'm Ann Alvarez, parent coach, school counselor, and mom of two. Do you struggle with your relationship with your kids because you carry childhood pain? Do you get triggered by your child's behavior, become irrational, and maybe even yell at your children? Maybe you want to be a better parent, but you don't know how. Instead of repeating old patterns, you want to heal your pain, become more aware of your child's needs, feel connected to your kids, and learn the tools to communicate better so you can truly enjoy your parenting. If you are ready to heal your childhood pain, raise healthy, connected, and happy kids, and end the cycle of parenting with pain, then join me. Our kids deserve it, and we can do this. Let's go. Hello, parents. Welcome to part two of Parent Questions. All right, we went through six questions last episode, and today we're going to go through six more. Okay, so question number seven. If my teenage son is doing homework with his friend, who is a girl, and they are alone together, what should I do? Okay, so I guess if you are afraid that something is going to happen, like I think you have to ask yourself, what am I worried about? Am I worried that my son is going to have unprotected sex because they're alone and the temptation is, why when you're alone? If he says that he's attracted to her, then that's possible, right? Again, I'm going to say, parents, we have to have these hard conversations with our children if we are worried, right? They need to know that we're worried and they need to know what we're thinking also. And then we need to know what they're thinking as well. So I would say to my son, you know, honey, I'm kind of worried that you're alone with this girl. Should I be worried about that? Is that something I should worry about? And he might say, well, mom, what's the problem? And you might say, well, I just don't want you to have temptations. Like, I don't want you to have unprotected sex. Maybe I think you're too young to have sex. And then he's like, oh, mom, like, don't talk to me about that. Then we know nothing's going to happen. Or if he says, you don't need to worry about that, then we have to trust our children, right? This is, have the conversation from a place of love. That you're concerned, but then you have to listen and trust him. We trust until we're proven that they can't be trusted. That's what we do. Okay, so we express concern. You know, I love you. I don't want you to do something that you might regret later. I want to make sure that you're safe. You know, that you're not giving into temptations. Do I need to worry about that, honey? See, that is the conversation I would have with my children. And then their answers will tell you know, if you need to worry or not. Okay, so we need to trust them until they prove us otherwise. Like if you catch your teenager at home alone with his girlfriend and you didn't consent to them being there alone, then you have to have that conversation too. You have to say, honey, this is my home, and I don't want you to bring your girlfriend here when I'm not home. Okay? And have boundaries. You have to have boundaries, right? If you have values, you have to stick to your values. But you explain to your child what the value is, why you have that value. So that they understand. And if you have been feeding the emotional bank account, like I have been talking about many, many times, then your child is going to listen to you because he or she knows you're coming from a place of caring and not to be punitive or judgmental. All right. Okay. Question eight, how do I talk to my child about sex? Okay. So It just depends on what age they are. Because you can start talking to them about reproduction and sex when they're little, right? You can say, okay, like give the birds and the bees story, right? Like, do you know how life is created? And explain it that way, or you could even get a science video on it. If you feel that they're curious about it and they want to know, then you can start that, right? Learning it together. Now, if they're older and they have had the sex talk at school, like both of my kids had their sex talk at school, so then they kind of have had it. And so as a parent, you could say, oh, you had the sex talk at school. How did that go? Do you have any questions? Is there anything you want me to answer? And they'll be like, no, mom, it's okay. My oldest, he actually did tell me. He felt very comfortable telling me about the sex talk, and we had actually a little joke about it. It's so funny. So he was like, mom, like I knew everything, because I actually did get some science books and things, so he understood reproduction. He got that. But he was so funny when he was in elementary school. After the talk, he said, yeah, I didn't know what the testicles were. I said to him, honey, did you think they were just for decoration? They actually serve a purpose. So we had a good joke about it. It's a good memory for me. But don't be afraid to have the talk. If they're ready and they want to know, then you can be honest with them, right? Because better it come from you than from their friends that might give them wrong information. So yeah, the sex talk, it happens at schools. But if you're worried that they don't know everything, or they don't know what they need to know, because they don't need to know everything, but if they don't know what they need to know, then you can say, do you need me to explain anything? Is there anything that you didn't understand? Or do you have any questions about it? Right? And just open the dialogue that way. Okay. Number nine. What should I do if my ex doesn't follow through on things that he needs to do for our son? Okay, I'm just going to say, parents, I have an ex. Okay. I think I've been like very clear about the separation that happened a couple of years ago, 2021. And it was really difficult. It was hard on me. But I made a decision that I was not going to burden my children with my struggle, because I was struggling with it. And I really, really tried to show them a strong mom. Like, I can handle this. This is going to be okay. We're going to be okay. We're still a family. Everything's going to be fine. But privately, I did get help. I did talk to people that I needed to. Friends, I had some really good friends and family that supported me through that difficult time. And that's the thing, parents, we need to remember that our kids are kids. They feel our emotions and our struggle. And because of that, we have to be so mindful of what we're putting out. If we can put out strength and confidence and resilience, that teaches them that you can go through struggle with that. Because what we don't want is, we don't want to have a breakdown in front of them, and then they feel like they have to take care of us. Because that's parentification, parents. Parentification is when our children worry about us because we can't handle things, because we've broken down. If we are in a struggle, then we have to get help for ourselves, and we cannot lean on our children for support. We have to get support from adults so that our children are not parentified and carrying our burdens. So, If the okay, so back to the spouse, back to the ex, I should say. We don't have control over the ex. Whatever the ex does in his or her house, that's what they choose to do. Whatever we do in our house is what we choose to do. And if the ex is not following through, this is the way I think of it. I think I'm going to do whatever is best for my child. And if I need to do it because my ex isn't following through, then I will do it. So whatever is best for the child is what you do. And you don't worry about the ex because you can't change the ex, right? You can't. So you just think about your child and what does your child need? What does your child need to happen? What does your child need to do? Focus on your child and not the ex. And you really, really, really have to work on not being carrying bitterness or anger. I know it's hard. It is hard, especially if you've been mistreated. Wow. I totally understand that. But here's the thing. When we are carrying bitterness, anger towards our child's parent, that's not good for our child. And it's not good for us because our child loves their parent. Both parents. Our children love us. So we don't want to put anything negative out there about the parent that they love, right? The parents, because they love both of you. So I really make an effort not to say anything negative and just be supportive and be the safe place if my son does need to vent about something. But I really am mindful of my words, that I'm not giving a messaging, a negative messaging about his dad. Okay. So, and I focus on the positive things, the great things that are going on with his dad. Because there are great things, you know, they're trying, right? So, that has to be acknowledged as well. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. Like, we have to be very forgiving of each other because it's not easy. It's not easy being a parent, and it's definitely not easy being a single parent. So we need to have compassion for ourselves and for the co-parent, right? Okay. So moral of the story, do what's best for your child. That's how you know what to do. Okay, number 10 is I'm going through a separation. How do I help my children with this transition? Okay, I did share I just made a decision that I want, okay, so I asked myself a question. I said, what do I want my children to see? How do I want my children to remember this time in our lives? And I decided that I wanted my kids to see a resilient, strong, confident mother that could handle it. And so I made every effort to be that mother. Even though inside I was struggling, I did struggle a lot. I prayed a lot. Like the first year was the hardest. I think many of you can relate to that. Like the first year of a separation or a breakdown of a marriage, it's really tough. So I leaned into my friends, but with my kids, I said, we're a family. We're going to do things together. I'm going to support you. I'm going to give you hope, right? That's my job, to give us hope that our lives are still going to be good, even though the way our family looks right now is not the same as it was. And I think that has helped a lot. My kids actually have thrived through it. Neither of them really struggled. And As I said, I made a real conscious effort not to talk badly about my ex. So that helped. So the transition is take care of yourself, parent, moms. I'm a mom, so I can relate. Take care of yourself and dads too. Because when you take care of yourself, then you're going to be better for your kids. And when you are struggling, it's so important, even more so, to have self-care, right? To focus on what makes you happy, to remember the times, to go make a bucket list. That's what I did. I made a bucket list of what do I want to do? Or now my life looks different. What do I still want to do with my life? And you can turn it into a great transformation, right? You can be the butterfly coming out of the cocoon at the end of it all. And that's what I hope for you parents, because that is really what has happened with me. I went through a transformation. And yeah, I'm proud of myself for that. So I want you to be proud of you and to go through the transformation. Get counseling, get support. Like I'm fortunate. I have counselor friends, so I can call on them anytime and they can give me counseling. And because I'm a counselor, right? So I have a lot of counseling friends. But if you need professional support, like if you need to process the relationship that you lost, then do it. Do whatever is going to help you to heal and to get better. That's my suggestion, because then you'll be good for your kids. Your kids will be so happy that their mom is thriving. All right, number 11. My husband and I did not agree on how to discipline our daughter. What should we do? Okay, so parents are not always on the same page. Like I have worked with parents who are not on the same page of how they should deal with their teenager, let's say. And so I'll meet with both parents and I will listen to each side, right? And my job isn't to take sides. My job is to advocate for the child, because that's who we need to advocate for. So when I'm working with parents that don't agree, then what I say is, we're going to focus on your son or your daughter. Let's focus on your child. What do you think is going to help? Right? Is punishment going to help? Do you think your son or daughter is going to turn around if you punish them? Because you're controlling them. They might say yes, but then they inside they're going to be upset and angry, right? And I'm a relational parent, so we're going to focus on the relationship. So mom and dad, even though you don't agree, both of you are going to work on your relationship with your child. And then I tell them how to do that, right? I say, every day you need to find a way to connect. So you're going to give positive affirmation to your child every day. Like every day, parents, we need to be feeding the emotional bank account, right? So happy to see you. How was school? And I love you. When they do something that you're proud of, tell them. When they share something, say thank you for sharing that. I'm so happy you shared that. That's a great story. These are things we do to connect with our children. And it has to be daily, because you're feeding that account, right? That emotional bank account. So that when you have a request, then they're going to be open to it, because they've been filled up by your love. All right, so you can do a withdrawal, you can, and if you make a mistake, and I've made many mistakes, right, especially with my oldest, They're forgiving of you because you have been feeding that emotional bank account with them. So they feel locked. So when you make a mistake, like you lost your temper or you overreacted about something, then they will understand because you have fed that emotional bank account, right? So that's why it's so important. Well, if there is one thing you can get on the same page about, it is that you're working on your relationship with your child. That is going to make the difference in how you parent. That honestly, it is powerful. When you have a strong relationship with your children, you can impact them in a big way, okay? And you can fill them up and help them to feel confident. When we don't focus on the relationship and we focus on their behavior and controlling them and making them do things, that does not build confidence. And it can lead to them being very sneaky about things or lying. And we don't want that. It's not a good relationship, someone that's being sneaky or lying to you. So that's why we have to focus on connecting with our kids and feeding an emotional bank account. Okay, I don't want to yell at my kids, but I can't stop. Help me. Okay, it's hard. It's hard because maybe you grew up with yelling. Maybe your parents yelled at you. Maybe that is your first go-to when you're angry or you don't know what to do or your kid's not listening to you. I know I grew up with yelling parents. It affected me. Like I didn't have confidence. I actually still get scared when someone's yelling. I start to shake, and it's like I'm that 6-year-old again. So it's traumatizing. And first of all, we need to be aware that we're yelling or that we're behaving that way. We're behaving in an unhealthy way. Okay, so right off the bat, yelling is unhealthy. Okay, it does damage to our children. That's why we have to stop it. So what is leading to the yelling? You have to ask yourself. You have to say, okay, why? Why am I yelling? Am I yelling because I'm frustrated? Am I yelling because I'm not taking care of myself? Am I yelling because I don't know how to communicate with my child? Am I yelling because I'm personalizing my child's behavior? Because I think they're being disrespectful? Like, these are the questions you've got to ask yourself. And then you have to say, you have to make a commitment that you're going to work on it. I'm going to work on changing that because I know it's not healthy and it's actually damaging to my children. So, well, maybe I'm going to meditate. Maybe when I start to feel that anger in my body, because we feel it in our body first, right? Before we react, we feel tense, our tightening of muscles, maybe our heart's beating really fast, maybe our stomach's hurting. Like, there's physical signs that you are emotionally uncontrolled. So when we have those signs, we got to recognize that sign is happening. I'm not as patient as I normally am. Then we need to take a time out for ourselves. We need to say, okay, I need to leave. And you can say to your child that I don't want to get angry, so I am going to leave right now. And when I'm calm, or when we're both calm, I want us to talk. But I can't talk right now because I'm too upset. I think that's okay. Like, that's a good boundary to have. And that's also teaching your children how to regulate their emotions. They know they can take a time out, right? And leave and try to regulate again, try to get their emotions in check. Here's the thing. When we are, our emotions are heightened, when we are in this heightened state of upset, we cannot think logically, right? Because the amygdala is overactive. And with teenagers, their amygdala is normally overactive. That's why they're very reactional, right? It is part of their brain chemistry right now. And they'll grow out of it, but that is probably why they're triggering you, and they don't mean to. So don't personalize it. Understand that your children, this is a normal part of the teenage development, and we as parents have to be more patient with them, more understanding, okay? Because they're not doing it on purpose. They're not doing it to hurt us. This is a brain chemistry thing that's happening with them, right? And I know this because of like being a counselor for over 15 years, working with teens, studying brain science. You know, I've done a few workshops on brain science to understand what is happening. Okay, but the emotions, if your emotions are heightened, you cannot think logically. You can, it is the worst time to make decisions. It is the worst time to try to problem solve because you will not problem solve. You just want to take revenge, right? Or hit something, or get mad, or hurt someone, or hurt yourself. So it is not the time for problem solving. The time for problem solving is when you're calm. So you have to get yourself in that calm state, in that peaceful state, quiet the brain down so you can think logically about what's happening. Okay? Don't respond or don't react so that later on you can respond in a loving way to your kids. I know it's tough, but you'll get better and better at it. The more you stop yourself, like you feel it coming on, gotta stop. I need to stop this right now. I don't want to cause damage to my child. I don't want to wreck relationship with my child, but I'm angry right now, so I need to leave. And that's okay. Okay, so you leave. You do your deep breaths. You go for a walk. You get yourself regulated. Okay, and then once you're calm, when your child's calm, because your child has to be calm too, then you have the conversation, right? With whatever was bothering you. And I say, when you're having the conversation with your children, you should always start with a feeling statement, to bring empathy, right? To bring connection. So I like to say, you know, honey, I love you very much. You know, honey, I care about you. Okay, I like to say that. I didn't hear it as a kid, and so it's really important for me that my children hear that I love them. So I really make an effort to tell them often, but especially when we've had a conflict, I'm going to remind them that I love them because I'm telling them about unconditional love, and unconditional love is, I love you even in your worst moments. That is unconditional love. That is how our children need to be loved, unconditionally. All right. So, honey, you know, I love you very much. And I don't like us arguing, having disagreements. So let's talk about it. Okay. And then you can say, what was happening? Why? Why did you do that? Why did you break the phone? Why did you hit your brother? Why did you swear at me? What was going on? And then you listen. And you listen without judgment because you're trying to get into your child's head. You're trying to figure out what were they thinking about. Okay? And they will tell you if they feel safe, if you're not judging them, if you're not interrupting them. They will tell you. We just have to be quiet. Okay. I know our tendency is to say things because that's how we grew up, right? Our parents just told us things, lectured us for a long time. And it wasn't helpful because we didn't get a chance to talk. But we need our children to talk because that's healthy and that it helps them And it helps us understand what they need. Okay, so let them tell the story. I was so angry because you did this, or little brother did this. And then you say, okay, I understand why you're angry now. I totally get it. But do you think that was the best way to deal with your anger? See, you're problem solving now and you're getting them to think. You're like, was that the best way for you to deal with your anger? Do you think there'd be a better way to do that? And then they can say to you, yeah, maybe I could have done this instead, right? Now they're thinking about their actions. And the next time it happens, they'll be thinking about that. Well, yeah, I could do this instead. I'm starting to get angry. This is what I can do instead, right? We model it and then we open up the conversation with them so they understand there's other ways to deal with things. Okay. And then you can talk about what's a healthy relationship. I think this is so important. With my teenagers today at school, I did a session on healthy relationships because I do think it's so important to learn because we didn't learn it. At least I didn't learn it as a kid. It wasn't modeled to me. Maybe my parents didn't know what it was. I'm pretty sure my parents didn't know what a healthy relationship was. So I only learned it as an adult, but I'm passionate about teaching this to kids and to adults, to parents. So we need to feel, okay, these are the three components of a healthy relationship. You need all three. Even if one is missing, it's not healthy. All right. And this is for all relationships. This is for marriages. This is for workplace. This is for relationships in your family. And this is definitely for our kids. So the first one is to feel seen. That means that you're not ignored. Like, I get very worried about parents that they ignore bad behavior, right? They're like, I'm just going to ignore it. I'm just going to ignore it. Your kid is whining, complaining. I'm just going to ignore them. Okay. What is the message you're giving your child? That they don't matter. Doesn't matter. You're behaving badly, so I'm not going to talk to you, right? This is not healthy. Instead, you can sit with them and let them whine. Right? That's giving them support and comfort, and helping them feel seen. So we need to feel seen by those we love, not ignored. So that means your child comes home and you're excited to see him or her, and you say, "How was your day, honey? You want to share anything?" That's being seen, that you are a member of the family that's important. Okay, so that's seen. Okay, second one is being heard. Being heard means your opinion matters, your voice matters, what you think matters. You can speak. I might not agree with you, but I want you to speak. I want you to tell me, right? So we create safety at home to express their opinions, even if it's like something we don't agree with. Let them express. Right? Because they need to feel heard. So that validates them. That gives them confidence. So we need to feel seen. We need to feel heard. And the last one is we need to feel supported. So our child comes home and says, really want to learn how to play basketball. Okay, this is being supportive. Okay, honey, so you want to take some lessons? Let's look into some lessons. Okay, that is being supported. If our children have an interest, we support them in that because that builds confidence. If we say, no, you can't do that, that doesn't build confidence. I'm gonna tell you, my brother, he's a year older than me. When we were in high school, the coach had approached him because he's a bigger guy, and the coach said, do you want to be on the football team? And my brother wanted to. He was like, yeah, I'd love to be on the football team. It'd be awesome. My mom was like, no, I don't want you on the football team because I don't want you to have any broken bones. So my mom stopped it. And then even to this day, when my brother talks about it, he says, I wish that mom didn't stop me from being on the football team because then I would have been so much better about exercising and being healthy, because he did have some weight issues in his adult life. He's totally fine now. He's been really on top of it. But the lesson is that we have to listen and support our children so they're not carrying that hurt, you know, like my brother's an adult and he still has that hurt. Like they're not carrying that hurt that they weren't allowed to do things or they were discouraged from doing things that they wanted to try. Our job is to uplift and to encourage and to support what our children want to do, not implant or impose our will or what we think they should be doing, because that is not healthy. Nobody wants to be forced to do something someone else wants them to do. Okay. So that is being supported. If you have those three things in your relationship with your children, then it's healthy. And if your children are modeling this, are seeing your modeling of that, then they are also going to attract healthy relationships. And that's what we want, right? Like when they're adults, we want them to be healthy with other people and to attract healthy people, right? Because they have been modeled to that at home. So that is so important. All right, parents, that is it for the questions. Thank you so much for your questions. I love answering parent questions. And as I say, you can reach out for support. I love to help parents. You can message me and follow me on Facebook. I have a YouTube channel that you can subscribe to. I'm on LinkedIn, and then I have a course and a coaching package on Teachable. So all you have to do is reach out. You got a free 30 minutes with me, and I am happy to help you with whatever parenting issue, challenge that you have. I understand, and I know that I can help you. All right, parents, take care, and I will see you on the next episode. All the best. If this podcast inspired, blessed, or changed you in any way, I would love for you to share this with your family and friends on your Instagram page and tag me at Masterful Parenting and join my Masterful Parenting Facebook page or DM me for more parenting support. And I will meet you here real soon. Remember, be relational with your kids and you will see a change. Love to all you parents out there. Let's change the world one parent at a time.